Okay. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for your love for us. I thank you for your presence tonight in this group. Because we need you, Lord. We need everything that you can give us. And I know you'll give us everything that we can receive. Lord, coming into some precarious times and some wonderful times. Lord, I'm asking you to lead us and guide us tonight in things that you'd have us to talk about, to discuss, or to pray, whatever you like. Lord, let your glory fall upon us tonight. It would be so awesome just to start that revival right here. That'd be awesome, Lord. Glory be to God. And I ask for your presence upon all of us, Lord, to lead us and guide us tonight. Thank you, Father, for all that you're doing in our life. Lord, help us to surrender all to you, because when we surrender all to you, we'll get all of you back in return. And that's a lot. That is a lot. And Father, I praise you and I glorify you for all the work that you're doing in us. And right now, I command all communications to work right tonight in the name of Jesus. Nobody get kicked off. Nobody get froze up. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father, that we're going to have a great time tonight without any problems. In Jesus' name. Thank you for all the testimonies and prayers answered tonight. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. All right. Anybody got a prayer request? Okay, how about a testimony? Yes, go ahead, Judy.
I would like you all to agree with me in prayer about a woman I met today. Her name is Davita. And she is suffering from a lot of, well, I think her biggest problem is some weight gain, and she has COPD, and she was really having a hard time breathing and stuff. But she's a believer, and I witnessed to her today, prayed for her, and gave her a Sovereign God book. And so, Father, I lift up Davita to you today. I thank you for her. I thank you, Lord, for blessing her, Lord, because she blessed me today. And you always say, Lord, in your word, that you will bless those who bless you. So I pray an outpouring of your grace and mercy. I pray that she get filled with the Holy Spirit. I thank you, Lord, that she has quit smoking. And she needs to get the exercise that she needs, Lord, and she needs Jesus more than anything. And I pray, Lord, that you will give her faith as she reads that Sovereign God book, and that you will open up her understanding, that she get filled with the Holy Spirit, that she will believe every word that she reads as you minister there, Lord, and that you just quiet her down and give her eyes to see and ears to hear. I pray, Lord, for healing to her whole body, Father, that you will help her to exercise, strengthen her body. And we just command that spirit of that infirmity of COPD, and every curse that's been spoken over her about it, we command that to go in the name of Jesus. And we thank you, Lord, that her lungs are already healing up. Because when you told me, Lord, that, or I read it, or I, whatever it was, but when somebody quits smoking, that their lungs immediately start healing and repairing themselves. So I pray that that is so in her case, Lord, and that COPD is gone. And you will minister to her what she needs spiritually and physically, Lord, for her soul, Lord, and feed her the truth and let her absorb it and run after Jesus, Father, with all of her heart. I pray your blessing and protection on her and her family, Father, from all the COVID and the vaccines and all the things that people are doing and just in ignorance, Lord. I pray for her soul, Father, and your blessing on her. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Father. All right. Go ahead, David.
Hello, everybody.
Hey, buddy.
Well, talking about an interesting week. Tough week. Yesterday, I've faced a very tough time and pretty much got humiliated like I never have been before. And the humiliation came from the boss himself and the service manager as well. And I mean, God just closed my lips. I couldn't say anything, but. I really didn't know what to do afterwards. I was thinking, I was like, it'd be nice to get some time off work to just, I was praying, Lord, just forgive him. Because they really don't know what they're doing. And we've been wanting to visit Missouri, our families, for a while. And we're like, when will we ever go? And so it happens, we actually ran out of trucks to work on. So I was like, God, this is the perfect opportunity. We're slow on work. And the service manager is going on vacation. And I was like, Lord, if it's your will, let them approve me, even though it's a short notice, but let me approve me to go next week. And sure enough, they all approved it. And we're leaving tomorrow after work. We're heading off to Missouri. And thank God that he brought me through that trip, through that tough time at work. And it was just awesome that he closed my lips the way he did from reacting to what they were saying. But I'd like prayer for our trip up to Missouri, for safe travels, our stay there. So, I mean, if God wants us to say testimonies to our family. I mean, my youngest brother was here and last weekend, and we were able to just testify to him, even though he believes in the church. It's just, I knew he's a younger brother and he would understand. And I went to work and he left on Monday, and my wife told me when he was leaving, he broke down in tears. He just couldn't hold himself. And we really think it was his spirit that broke down, because I don't think he ever was able to hear the full truth. And I believe that there's a reason why God's sending us at this time. And I just would like some prayer for our stay there.
Okay, let's do it. Father, we lift up David and Lena, and we thank you, Lord, for a safe trip up there and a safe trip back. And Father, we thank you for answering David's prayer about time off next week. And we praise you for that, Father. And we thank you, Lord, that he is an overcomer. And you're teaching him to just turn the other cheek and do just like Jesus did. And we praise you, Father, for that. And Lord, we thank you that while he's on his trip up there seeing family, that you'll give him wisdom, you'll give him the words to say that'll change their lives. And we praise you, Father, that while he's doing it, they'll see the light of Jesus all over him and Alina. And we just thank you for that, Father, that it's going to be an awesome time together up there in Missouri. And we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray? Yes, Alina.
Just one quick little side note. My siblings on here, you guys can't tell anyone because we're surprising everybody. Our parents do not know.
Okay. Keep your mouth shut, Theo.
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Well, it's going to be a good surprise. They'll be delighted to see you, I'm sure. All right, Geneva, go ahead.
Hey, everybody. Tomorrow, I have my first appointment with my midwife, and Morgan's going to be able to go with me, which is good. He got off work for it. So I just want prayer that everything goes good and that it's a good appointment, because I'm not used to going to the doctor, which, I mean, she's not really a doctor, but, you know, more like natural, I guess. So anyways, I don't really know what to expect, but I am thanking the Lord that everything's going to be good. And I've been thanking God that praying away like nausea and all that, because as soon as it comes, I just pray and it's like the Lord takes it away from me. And also wanted to say too, just as like a testimony, I just, you know, really thankful that I have a wonderful husband, and he's been so comforting and so sweet, and he's been so patient. And anytime I need something, he jumps up and he goes and gets it for me, or, you know, which I'm not even like big time pregnant yet, but he's already making the efforts, and he's really been believing with me and encouraging me. And I don't know, I'm just so thankful to have such an awesome husband that, you know, cares for me and loves me the way that he does. Even like yesterday, I was not feeling the best, and so we were praying, and then he got down and started rubbing my feet, and like, it's just, you know, just sweet stuff like that, like brings tears to my eyes. But I just really thank the Lord for him. But yeah, if we could just say a prayer that, you know, tomorrow goes good, everything goes good, I would appreciate that.
Okay. The Lord, we just believe with Geneva that everything's going to go good. And the doctors, or the midwife, excuse me, the midwife will like what she sees and tell her everything's fine. And we just praise you for that, Father. Not only that, we thank you for Morgan. Her husband is taking care of Mama, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a loving husband. That's always a good thing. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, anyone else? Yes, Isaac.
Yeah. I would like a little bit of prayer because I have to, Monday I got to drive back to Detroit, and then I have to fly Wednesday to Texas, and then back from Texas to Detroit. So it's a lot going on, but the reason I ask for prayer is because I have to go to this air hub that we commissioned, earlier in the year. And, you know, it's always tough when you're by yourself, and, you know, 'cause I'm going by myself, and we're implementing this like bypass project. However, Michael, you know as well as anybody, there's always a debug process. It's very rare when things just program go smooth, just work the first time. So I'm gonna be by myself. Air hubs are a big deal. I don't want to shut it down. I've done things before. I'm pretty good at it. But I believe with me and pray with me, because I believe it's going to go smooth, actually, and that it's going to work the first time. And in a technical field, that's a really big deal. Like, that's rare, in case you hadn't seen it. But I tell you, it's going to happen this time, and I'll be letting you guys know. So if we'll pray, just agree with me. Michael, if you wouldn't mind, or whoever, I'd really appreciate it.
Okay. Well, Lord, we lift up Isaac on this job that he's going to, Lord. I'm asking, Father, that if whatever, that you make sure that this job is ready to go when he flips the switch. When the smoke test is over, it's going to be a good transition for him, and we praise you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. And he's going to get the pat on the back, and the owners will be glad that he went down there. And we just praise you, Father, for a great trip this time to get him back home. Get him back home from Texas, and then get him back home from Detroit, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for a rewarding trip, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I shut off half of New Madrid, Missouri one time, Isaac, for working in a substation. I did.
Yeah, I was okay.
Yeah, the mayor called up there and wanted to know what was going on. I said, well, I just shut your city out. He said, why? I said, it wasn't. It was a mistake. I'll get it right back on. So it took me about 30 minutes.
That's a good story.
Yeah. All right. Anybody else? How about a testimony? Praise report.
Michael, I have a testimony.
Okay.
It's Mona.
Yes, ma'am. I knew who it was.
So we went to see some, hang out with some family last night after the, after grandma's funeral. And Theo's cousin brought some ingredients to make some pastries to go with the afternoon tea. And she started panicking because there was no eggs. And so it was just a piece of dough that she put some sweet cream cheese on and some pie filling, and she was going to bake. And so she put them in the oven, and she's like, oh no, I don't know, one of these is leaking. And I was just sitting there not really paying a whole lot of attention. I was like, you're fine, they won't leak. She's like, oh good. She's like, I don't have your kind of faith, so you better keep believing for me. And I hadn't really meant a whole lot by it. I just kind of spoke up because she was freaking out. And I was like, okay, I'll believe for you. They won't leak. Don't worry. So they're baking, and she's watching the oven. She's like, they're not leaking. And I said, they'll be fine. They won't leak. So she finally takes them out of the oven. She says, they didn't leak. How is this possible? I didn't do a whole lot. Just, it was in my mind to confess the good report and to kind of try to keep her from panicking. It's just pastries. Come on. the Lord came through. Those things did not leak. And I even enjoyed a couple of them. I've never had them before. It was a really easy recipe and they were delicious. And she just, I don't know if she took me seriously or not, but I think the Lord will get her attention sooner or later. And praise you, Lord, for it. It was just on my heart to confess the good report, and he came through.
Amen. Do you have any leftovers?
Nope. They were that good.
They gone. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Anyone else? Missy, you cold? Nope. All right. Just love yourself. Huh? Just sitting there hugging yourself. All right. Anybody else? Okay. No more praise report. All right. What y'all want to talk about tonight? What were we talking about last time? Rejection. Well, we got through that pretty good. So, but we were talking about what? The love of God? Is that what we were talking about before that? God's love? Is anything, any subject that any one of y'all want to? Yeah, Ephesians 4, that's right. Did everybody get a copy of that thing that I sent out today, this afternoon? Okay, good deal. Ephesians 4, yeah. All right. What y'all want to talk about? Has anybody got a subject they'd like to discuss? Somebody came up with something last week. What was it? The fire of God, I believe it was. That was somebody wanted to talk about the fire of God and what it was. That's something y'all want to talk about? I don't think they're even here tonight. Let's talk about the fire of God. What does that mean? What is the fire of God? Let's see if I can find a reference. We've got a lot of silence here. Ooh, 30 verses. Wait a minute. Let's do it this way. All right, we're going to talk about the fire of God in the New Testament, baptized in the fire. What is that? Somebody want to elaborate? Yes, Missy.
Well, to be baptized in the fire of God is to be baptized in the Spirit, the power of God. It's not just, you know, it's kind of like saying, okay, you're being baptized with the Spirit, filled with the Spirit, but to me, it means also the power of God.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Yes, Benita?
What I was just thinking of is the fire of God could refer to like the trials and the struggles and like you're baptized through those struggles as you come into the image of Christ and through those trials, through those fires. So it was just an idea that came to me.
In Matthew 3:11, it says, I indeed baptize you in water unto repentance, but he that comes after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you in the Holy Spirit and in fire. That's one of them. Whose fan, I'm going to go on to 12, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly cleanse his threshing floor, and he will gather his wheat into the garner, but the chaff he will burn up with the unquenchable fire. Yeah, Julie, go ahead.
What was coming to my mind was the fire purifies, it cleanses and purifies of the chaff, sin, the old man. What's left is the gold, the precious stones, the gems, the silver, that which is usable, that which is left is Christ.
Amen. The fire of the Holy Spirit and the Word burns up all that junk we got in us, right? Amen. That's the power. Glory to God, the power of the Holy Spirit and the fire of God. That's what cleans us up, and that's what gets us ready for the love of God in our heart. All right, anybody else? It'll be a real short subject here if y'all don't come on help out.
I got something in Hebrews.
Go ahead.
Our God is a consuming fire.
All right.
What you were just talking about a minute ago, you know, brings that out. He's a consuming fire.
You want to read it?
Well, it's Hebrews 12:29, for our God is a consuming fire.
Consuming fire, yeah. Okay.
Sure.
Yes, Julie, go ahead.
What do you think it means in Revelation where it describes Jesus with eyes of fire? What do you think? I've always kind of wondered what other people thought about that, eyes of fire.
Where is that?
Revelation. I don't know. Well, it's got to be, it's in Revelation chapter 1 where it gives his description of Jesus, what John saw, and then I don't know exactly what verse it is. And then it's mentioned elsewhere in the church when he's...
It's Revelation 1:14.
Would you read it, Michael? I don't have my Bible.
Yes, I did. And his head and his hair were white as white wool, white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. Was as a flame of fire. Anybody? Go ahead. Andrew, you got the answer? Or you got something else you want to talk about?
Well, I got something else. I was just lifting my hand up.
Okay.
I was just going to mention that when, after Jesus' resurrection, there was two walking to a different city, and Jesus showed up talking with them, and he said, they said to each other afterwards, they realized it was Jesus. They said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke with us while we were talking on the way? So that was exciting them to what was going on, because he revealed himself to them. And in his speech, he spoke from Moses onward as they were walking there, and their hearts were being cleansed with the fire of Jesus speaking to them about the Lord and about the Messiah and about all the things that were supposed to happen to them. And that's just another reference of the fire. And its emphasis with the word as a cleansing and a revitalization of these two that were on their way to Emmaus, I think it was, or something like that. Anyway, praise God.
Amen. Amen. Well, and his eyes were as a flame of fire. You reckon that could be something like penetrating eyes to your heart and your spirit to see what you look like, to see how you're doing, you know? I'll tell you something. When you see Jesus, when you see Jesus, when you read about people who see Jesus for the first time, what's the first thing that happens to them? They fall to the ground, don't they? That's what I've read anyway. They all just fall to the ground in prayerful worship to him. The power of his penetrating eyes can see right straight through you. He knows everything. And that's the eyes of fire. And that eyes of fire is love too, I believe.
Michael?
Okay. Yes, ma'am.
I brought up something kind of interesting. It says, the eyes of the Lord, which are in every place, beholding the evil and the good, like you said, looking deep into our hearts, are here described like unto fire, to express not merely indignation. He had looked once on the Jewish rulers in indignation against evil, but determination to consume it. For our God is a consuming fire, purging away sin from those who forsake sin, and consuming in their sin those who refuse to be separated from it. So,
amen.
Yeah. It's like it causes you to want to really fear God when you think about those eyes of fire.
Amen. Amen. All right, anyone else about the fire? Yes, George, go ahead, brother.
I was just thinking about the when he comes, how he's going to give us a new heaven and new earth, and the elements are going to melt away with a fervent heat. And just thinking that if he's made us as vessels of honor out, and all the wood, hay, and stubble's been burned away, that we'll be able to make it through that melting of the elements and still stand with him. And you know, to be in his presence, the as we decrease and he increases, we you know, we have that fire purifying us, like Julie was saying, that silver that's seven times purified, and when he looks into it, he sees the reflection of himself perfectly. So
amen.
It's just on my mind.
Yep. Amen. Thank you. That was good. Anybody else?
In Ezekiel 38:19, it talks about the fire of his wrath. For in my jealousy and in the fire of my wrath have I spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great shaking in the land of Israel.
Amen. That's gonna shake a lot of people out, isn't it?
Farewell.
Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your fire. Thank you, Lord, for the fire in us, burning our old wood, hay, and stubble out of the way, getting rid of it, filling us with your love. You know, I believe the Lord wants us to receive his love like he received the love from the Father. I was reading in John today, you know, that he and the Father were one, and the love of the Father is in him, and he wants to give us that love as well. I believe it's in John. I don't remember. But anyway, it's in John somewhere. And he was talking about that. And he wants us, if you have, I believe this, if you have the love of Christ to his fullness, won't you walk in the same way he will? And the power and the love of Christ will be all over you. And the things, what did he tell us? He said, if you'll be doing the things that I'm doing, greater things you're going to be doing than I did. But that's the love of Christ. I believe that the eyes will be burning like fire when you get that love in you. When we get to love, and it's about from God, God's love, not this phileo love, what we talk about, but that agape love, that obedience love. Go ahead, Greg.
My brain was working, and I was going sometimes. I was running some thoughts were running through, and a couple of correlations, I guess, in the Old Testament in Judges 13, Manoah, who was Samson's father and his mother as well, who's not named. They had an encounter with, well, let's say the angel of the Lord, and they put a sacrifice out, and it went up with fire. Similarly, Elijah on Mount Carmel, his sacrifice, you know, was consumed in the fire, I'm starting to think that, you know, when Jesus said that, no, sorry, John the Baptist, I beg your pardon, said that, we become the sacrifice.
Amen.
I mean, the fire, you know, because it, the world's going to be consumed with fire at the end of the age. You know, we had the water, then the fire. I'm guessing it has something to do with that, you know, that Alpha and Omega, beginning and end of, you know, the two bookends of God, if we could bookend him.
Amen. I believe Jesus, well, I know he does. I know that he wants us all to be like him. And if we're like him in love, we're going to be like him in everything. Because he is the epitome of love. He is the love personified, if you will. All right, anyone else? About the fire. Baptism of the fire. Well, we'll be through the Bible here at this pace. It's not going to take long at all. Amen.
I'll just add real quick that it's to make us holy as He is holy. That's the purity and the, there's nothing left of the flesh. It's so we will be like He is, and He's holy. We have His name. His name is Hallowed be Thy name. It's holy. And there's nothing unclean. There's nothing. It's His name. That's how we're coming into that name. We have it by faith, but we are going to be all that His name is. Amen.
Amen. That's right. He wants us into. He wants us to look like Him. Go ahead, Debbie.
Yeah, I was thinking of maybe someone else can expound on this, but. He stood in front of John with eyes of fire, and he also came to, I don't want to say judge, but to talk about the seven churches, and he told them the things he had against them and the good things they did, and told them to repent, but only he could do that with, Jesus, the eyes that purify and the eyes that judge, and full of love that wants to repent. So that was neat, because that's when he stood before John, but just before he said, I read these to him about the churches. So. Interesting.
Amen. You hit on something there. That's right. Nothing's hidden before him. And how you take correction determines where you are in Christ. If you can't take correction, you still got a lot of flesh, possibly too much. But if you can take correction, then you're on the road. You're on the road, because God will put you on that road, and He'll tweak you here and He'll tweak you there, tweak you here and tweak you there until you get it right, It's when we, why won't, and just a side note here, why don't people take correction? Where do they get to the point where they quit taking correction? Has anybody got an idea about what that is? Why that happens? Yes, Andrew.
It does say something pretty clear in Romans 2:4, See, people despise God's goodness, His forbearance and long-suffering towards them. So they won't take correction because they don't want God's goodness. Goodness is a fruit of the Spirit. And it's referring, in reference, it's talking about the steady decline from chapter 1 of men's nature, the unregenerated man's nature, and it finally ends up giving that good hint there as they just despise God's goodness toward them, His forbearance. The forbearance of God, the long suffering of God, is something that we want. It is a fruit of the Spirit, but you could just think on how God's kind of saying, why are they doing this? These people who call themselves Christian, for instance, why did they do that? Why did they go through this? Why don't they know who I am? Don't they know how I'm withholding myself right now on what I could possibly do to them? because of what's going on and what they're doing here. And it's kind of spooky. It's kind of scary that, we really have to depend upon God to show us what's wrong with us too. Because we want to be pleasing to God. And he'll bring us to that spot where, where you just have to believe now, because you're beyond this point now where you don't even want to think of going back, turning back the wrong way, and being a backslider. Or he just told you way too much, it's a reverence you have for him. It's a desire. If you could find every place that it says earnest in the Bible, the earnest of the spirit, it's the earnest of the Christ in you. So I think they just lack that. I don't know if the church, because there's so many different voices in the churches, the denominations, I don't know if that has something to do with it, people just give up. I think it has a lot to do with that 2:4 of Romans, that they despise God's goodness, and that's why they can't come to that repentance that they need to have.
Well, I agree with that. I agree with everything you said. But what I've seen in my experience with the people that finally get to a point is they'd rather have their flesh. They'd rather be, they're more rebellious at that point. They'd rather have their flesh than they had God. And they're rebellious. Somebody said they were rebellious. Yes, that's exactly right. They're rebellious against God. And pride is part of it. We talked about rejection last night. And pride is a part of that rejection.
Michael?
Yes, sir.
There's some stuff that recently came to me from Colossians chapter 2, where people of the world wouldn't necessarily consider this to be evil. The philosophy, which is a study of wisdom, the love of wisdom and knowledge, but it's teaching man how to conduct themselves properly, and it's still man's glory. It's man's spirit, and they don't identify that as being the flesh, because you would get in a certain country where they would have a law where you can't kill anybody, but it's still man's glory. It's not God's glory, because you're called out of the nations. And there's a lot of little factors in there, from what I can remember, voluntary humility and worship of angels. A person can come to you with this philosophy, the vain deceit, the traditions of men, the elements of the world. And there's a lot of stuff in there that might not seem like it's all that bad to a person who's unregenerated, or even sometimes to a person who is regenerated. They'd say, well, you must be a real Christian because you're believing like I am, but it's a philosophy this guy's believing, and he's got this philosophy mixed in with his churchianity, and they're getting spoiled with this philosophy and vain deceit, and you wouldn't consider it to be the flesh, right down to the bottom, you know, where it says touch not, taste not, handle not, and it has no show of gain over your flesh. It sounds good, but it's still the flesh, and it's not the spirit. So it's really interesting how that chapter gets really in detail with some of the good behavior people have, but it's still flesh. So I hope people understand what I'm talking about. If you were just to peruse that chapter there, you'd see some stuff as to what perhaps is actually maybe through this philosophy and this love of wisdom and knowledge, this is what might be keeping a little bit of a band-aid on the world from going berserk nowadays or something. Because they're attached to some sort of law or man's word, man's glory, man's spirit, the world spirit. And of course, in another place, it says God considers the wisdom of this world foolishness. So that's the wisdom of the philosophy. So in chapter 3 of 1 Corinthians 3 and 19 and 20, somewhere around there. So, and it actually says that, I believe, somewhere along the line in 1 Corinthians there, that God's going to catch them in this foolishness. I don't know if that's the term he uses, but they don't want to burn this up in them. So they get caught into this dilemma. It's a confusion when it comes into the church, because Paul explains in some areas of the New Testament that he says, I tell you now, even weeping, these are enemies of the cross of Christ. So were these people sounding like a lamb but speaking like a dragon? Were these people saying they were in Christ, but they deceive? Just like it says in Matthew 24 and 5 and Revelation 13 and 11. So, and I wouldn't put it at all out that the letter of the word does this also to some extent, because they would only have a parable there. An allegory of the truth. What am I looking for here? A type shadow, and not the real spirit of the meaning of the word. Anyway, that those warnings are all through almost every single book, but it really seems to get down really nitty gritty in that second chapter of Colossians, I noticed anyway.
Amen.
Praise God.
Amen. If you love God, he says you're going to obey his commandments. And the love that we receive from Jesus is birthed out of the heart of God, isn't it? And if it's birthed out of the heart of God, we're going to do everything we can to please him. And that means that we give all to him, right? And if we give all to him, everything, and bow down to what God wants us to do, boy, we're going to have a happy time. Now, it's what kills us, what keeps us and hinders us, is this flesh man inside of us. As the word says, the flesh is warring against the spirit at all times. And the way to keep from getting to that point to where we don't want to have to receive correction is to stay in the Word. And when you stay in the Word, you learn more about Jesus and you understand that you have to walk like Him. Okay, Benita, go ahead.
Yeah, it was just, I know for me in this last year or two that I've been listening and been a part of UBM, and just recently listening to David's message about abolishing death, just coming to the understanding that, you know, it's just such a simple saying, walk by faith and not by sight. And yet I've been walking by sight in so many things and thinking that tongues wasn't a gift and healing wasn't a gift and all these different things. I've just been taught that and then believed it because I didn't see it. But that's not what the Bible says. So just kind of like what you said, just, being in the Word and taking it for what it says, not what you've been taught, and by walking by what it says and not what you see. That's really, that whole abolish death message was eye-opening to me, as so many of his messages are.
Amen. The thing that we have to do in this fire business is to allow God to kill that flesh for us. And the only way he's going to be able to do that, or we're going to be able to do that and allow him to do it, is staying in the Word, believing God, and building up our faith to believe that he can do that, walk in us, you know. Like, look, we've all been off on these rabbit trails of going off here and going off yonder in our flesh, but we always come back to what we know, and that's our first love. We have to get into that first love more and more, find out how Jesus was in order for us to be like that. Anybody else? Hi, Claire. Sup, girl? Good you could join us. All right, anybody else? Go ahead, Missy. Right, you too. Go ahead. What are y'all doing? Two women sitting there. My gracious. Oh, me. All right. Anybody else? We got two shows going on here. Go ahead, Marilyn.
I remember.
Come right to you, Joe.
Shortly after I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and this has been close to 30 years ago. I wish I could have understood this more at the time, but I remember the Lord speaking to me in my prayer time one day and telling me, any place that there is self in your heart, there's not room for me. And you know, like I said, I just wish I could have understood the depth of, you know, how profound that was. And especially over the last couple of years in my prayer time, I've been, you know, thinking and meditating, you know, anything that has self attached to it. You think about, you know, self-righteousness, self-justification, self-exaltation, self-importance, self-confidence, self-pity, self-gratification, self-indulgence, self-defense, self-medicating, you know, just anything where you can put self in there, that, you know, that's something to be considered and something to be prayed against and prayed down and cast out, you know, self-deception. And and it's all, you know, rooted in, you know, ego, self-will. It's all part of self-idolatry. And it's just, you know, it really wasn't until I came to UBM that I started realizing that, you know, my flesh was really an enemy. And then, you know, Michael, you've taken us through some teachings on Andrew Murray, and he covers a lot of that too. I've read some of his books that really have, you know, really helped me to understand that more. And so anyway, just wanted to share that.
Amen. Amen. That's that old self, I tell you what, it's an enemy. You know, I can sit here and think of you tell you today, and I ain't gonna do it, but I can tell you where I went wrong today in self rather than doing what I should have been doing, you know. I'll tell you, and I'll just tell you, getting on the thing and getting some praise and worship music on that, and you see over here on the YouTube side, oh my, wonder what that's about. Click on that. Now, I know none of y'all ever done that, so it's just for me. No. Okay. All right. But that's what it's the little things like that get us distracted off of the Lord. And next thing you know, you've got all kinds of evil surrounding you from looking at that stuff. Go ahead, Joe. Get me out of here, buddy.
The last couple of weeks, I'm going over the Promised Land again and reading and listening over and over. And it was last Wednesday's fellowship was that it fits good with my Promised Land. Is where you walk, how you fit your life, and take a fresh look at where am I myself and in the Lord. And biggest thing for me is you have to have a look at yourself and see the Lord is holy. What means holy? It's separate, but it's completely different. And but the verse from tonight, it's what I'm talking about, that James 4 verse 8 says, draw nigh to God and God will draw nigh to you. But doing that, he says, cleanse your hands and purify your heart. So it's a burning process, it's a cleaning fire. It's not, you can't do it yourself. You have to have a Holy Spirit to do it for you. That's all. Thanks.
That's a good point, Joe. All right. Anyone else? That was a good lot of points that you made, Marilyn, a while ago. And it all comes down to self, don't it? Warring with the Spirit. Well, I'd rather have me a piece of pie than read my Bible. I didn't hit nobody, did it? I'm just kidding. All right, anyone else? Well, yeah, you can do it, bud. You're kidding. Oh, my. Okay. Anyone else? We're going to talk about that one of these days. We're going to bring that up. Missy. Because I have some good theories. Not theories. I've got actual proof. All right. Anyone else? All right, what else y'all want to talk about? We got that one squared away. Anybody need some prayer now because you've been doing self rather than spirit? Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for delivering me from myself. Let me ask something here. Go ahead, Isaac. I'm going to look at something while you're talking.
Okay. You asked if what else we want to talk about. Man, this is something I have been thinking about for months and months, almost since like the first week I was on here. And that was, and this may not be the appropriate time for it. It might take a while. You might have to delegate that, Michael. But I always feel interested. How did the Lord give everybody this truth? Like, how did you come to UVM? Because it's such a, everybody comes to so many different places, like Australia, Tasmania, Washington, Canada, Mexico. There you go. Thank you, Israel. And so there's so many places. And I always just wondered how the Lord gave you that truth and what's your testimony? It's something I've always wondered. Michael, it may not even be available, not so. If it's not, I get it. But I just curious.
Sounds like we've got an open forum here. In other words, the question is, how did each and every one of us come to UBM to discover UBM? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, correct.
Well, how'd you come?
Well, that's a good question. Let me think about that. It was through Garrett Crawford. And mine ain't real long. It's pretty short, actually. I used to go door to door, and I used to travel, you know, the whole East Coast and all that. And I was working in Indianapolis at this office, and this guy named Garrett, you know, he was there, and we started talking to each other because in the morning we'd take our sales pitch and we pitch each other to practice it and critique it. And I was like, well, I'll talk to that fella. So I went over to him and we were talking, and just somehow we started talking about the Lord. And there's probably about 30 or 40 people. They all left and went to the other side of the room. Me and him, I kid you not. And so we talked about it, and I went on about my life and didn't really see him much after that. I only spent a week there, and so I didn't see him. But he'd call me like every few months just to see what I'm doing. And we'd talk, you know, whatever. Anyways, time goes by, and I probably hadn't talked to him in maybe a year at this point. I go to Cincinnati, and I'm working in the office of Cincinnati, and then I meet this fellow named CJ. And he's also a Christian. And so we're driving down 275, which is a loop that goes around the city, which is taking about an hour to get around it. Anyways, I said, you don't happen to know, or he was talking about some guy that brought him in the business who was a big Christian. I said, oh, really? Who is this guy? We're talking. He goes, a guy named Garrett. I said, I know Garrett. I met him in Indianapolis. And I kid you not, he goes, yeah. We're like, well, you know Garrett. He's like, I went to school with Garrett. I was like, yeah, I met Garrett in Indianapolis. I've only seen him one time in my life. Kid you not, in that big city, we looked over, and he was in the car next to us, literally.
Garrett was?
Yeah, and he was far east side. We were on the west side of Cincinnati, and we started laughing so hard. And Garrett looked over, and he started laughing. So we pulled off into the road and went to the mall and just started talking. And ever since then, I started talking to him a little bit more. And he gave me this book called Sovereign God. Oh, you know, yeah, I could go on, but I'll just put this point. I got to know Garrett a little bit better, but I didn't really understand the truth. I was going to go to this Todd Bentley crusade thing that my roommate in Columbus, Ohio was all about. And I was like, oh yeah, let's go there. This is awesome. And Garrett called me one day and I was talking to him about it. He said, Isaac, you know, he's always been pretty easy with me. He said, I just want to tell you, you probably shouldn't. I didn't really believe him. And we were going to drive to Florida. And he said, Isaac, I don't know if you ever had a dream, but let's just pray. If you have a dream, then you'll know. And if you don't, then you won't. And I was like, okay. So we prayed, and that night I had a dream of a blue donkey on stage, and his name was Todd Bentley, and he was speaking to the whole. Then I got the book Sovereign God from him, and it was profound, and it was it just changed the way I've seen things. But that's out. Okay.
Amen. Garrett's a hoot, isn't he?
Oh, yeah, he sure is.
Yeah, I like Garrett. Yeah, George, go ahead.
I can't resist. I actually found UBM through Garrett. I found UBM through Garrett as well. Oh, it was really? It was during the MySpace days, and I must have been looking at Alex Jones or something on MySpace right around 2001 or two or something. And Garrett would post on there, and it seems like he was posting links to UBM on Alex Jones's MySpace of all places. And I followed it and dug right in on some prophecies that they had been reading about. It was basically one of the only prophecies that I could find that talked about 9/11 before it happened or something. And it was on the website. And as soon as I dialed into that, it, you know, the Prophecy Club stuff and everything else was right around that same time too. So the whole revelation of types of God's people repeating themselves as bodies of people, that just cracked my egg right wide open. So I was...
Awesome. Amen. All right. All right, who's next? I can pick somebody. You know, might me know, never mind. Yeah, Claire, go ahead.
I can't resist. I wasn't brought in by Garrett. I don't know him. But Rhiannon and I were in Amway. And so that took a fair amount of door-to-dooring or referrals. And we knew an old guy who fitted kitchens. And he called Rhiannon up and he said, you need to go put a water purification unit in Cornelius's house. And all we know is like that is the top sales thing. Like if you can get a, you know, water purification system, that's the top selling product. So, you know, you're sweet, you're good to go. So we went to Cornelius on a Friday night. We decided to go, I think it was, we were supposed to be there at 6, and we had dinner plans with friends at 8:30 in the city. And he lived quite a way out of the city, but I'm quite, used to be quite time bound and quite, what's the word? Maybe efficient. I don't know. And so I was like, all set, we're going to be in, we're going to be out, we're going to go for dinner, everything's going to be fine. We stayed at Cornelius until 3 a.m. He just spoke. And when he spoke, it's like our hearts melted at the same time, because we were in a church. We'd actually just come out of the church. We spent a grand total of, I think, 6, maybe 5 weeks in going to sermons as a married couple. We were newlyweds. And the church we were at had decided that they were going to split services into English and Afrikaans. And Rhiannon and I'm English, he's Afrikaans. So we were kind of like, oh, this isn't good for the kingdom. Like, this is going to divide us, and this is dividing, you know, it's divisive. So we're just not going to do it. And so we left that church, and then he came and he's like, oh, you should come to our home church. And he had kombucha, and he was telling us about the mother in the kombucha. And I was like, I didn't care. And he told us about this guy called David and all these miracles. And I'd never heard of a person having a miracle, like never. I didn't even know. That word was not even in my vocabulary. And so we drove home, but we'd left this, I can't remember what happened, but somehow we left something behind, and Rhiannon had to go back on his motorbike the next day and get the Sovereign Guard. And when he got the Sovereign Guard from Cornelius gave us kombucha. And so when he drove home on all the dirt roads on his motorbike, the kombucha spilled all over the book. And I've actually still got the book. It's like, it's so manky because it's got kombucha stains all over it. But we read it, and Rian read it in 3 days. He went to up in some African country, he'll remember, and he read it and he came back. He was a changed man. But that book stayed on our shelf for 9 months. It was on our shelf for 9 months before we even touched it. And then he took it with him one day on a thing. He came back and luckily he finished it because I basically ripped it out of his hands. I'm like, what? And so I then read it. And then we started going to a home group with Joe and Jeannie and Paula and Pietra. And yeah, the rest is history.
Amen. That's a good one. Go ahead, Anna.
Well, my story is not very exciting. I was actually born into it. So my mom found Sovereign God through a kind of a miracle, kind of by accident, if you could say that, when I was like 9. So we went from no religion in our house whatsoever to being under Sovereign God. So I'm very blessed. But since Steve Borchert's not on here, I'd like to give his testimony. Hope you don't mind, Steve, if you're listening. His is so awesome. He told it to us when he stayed at our house, Steve and Helen Borchert. And he found David's website. He was online and he was trying to find an answer to some spiritual question. So he typed in his question and he said he never does this, but he just scrolled down several pages without looking at the results and clicked on a UBM result. And it didn't answer his question, but he thought, this looks interesting. So he bookmarked it. And he said he never does that. You know, he only looks at results like the first page. So I thought that was really cool. That one always stuck with me. So praise God.
Amen. Thank you, Father. Glory, hallelujah. All right. Anybody else? Now, I know every one of you have a story because, gracious sakes alive, you're right here. Yeah, Missy. I was going to call on you next anyway, so it's a good thing you raised your hand.
Well, my story is, I'm trying to remember the guy's name.
David Eels.
No. There was this guy, I was on his site, and he had some good stuff. And one thing, and here I came to find out that he believed in universalism, ultimate reconciliation. And when I told David this, he was blown away. He actually had some back and forth with David. David told me later, but he actually recommended in reading chapter 5 of Hidden Manna. So I printed that off. This is around, this is fall of 2010. And when I was reading it, and what it's about, chapter 5 of Hidden Manna is pretty much about the man child. That's what it's about, is the man child. And as I was reading it, I knew what I was reading was the truth, because it put some pieces together that I didn't quite understand in the what I was taught about end time eschatology and what this and that and the other thing meant in Revelation about the first fruits and everything, what I was taught. And when I read it and he talked about the corporate bodies, you know, the man child's a corporate body and the bride's a corporate body and blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I was reading it and it was like when we were going to see, I believe it was Merle's family, and then we were going to go see my family in November, like in Thanksgiving and all. And I was just reading this piece and that piece to Merle, you know, and he was having none of it. Anyway, but that's just what grabbed me. I knew it witnessed with my spirit, but it was the truth. And that's what got me started. I read Hidden Manna first. I went and read the whole book. That was the first thing I read. So that's kind of a really odd backdoor way of coming to UBM from somebody that recommended something of David's. Like I said, David, when I told him that, he was blown away that he, you know, recommended that. But anyway, so that's my story and I'm sticking to it.
Okay.
Thank you, Lord.
What?
I said, praise the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Go ahead, Joe.
I'll be short of mine. In my previous marriage, we did have two kids, and when most of going through a divorce, I found out that two kids wasn't mine. But the reason why I'm telling you this is a lady who gave me my other family also got the same issues with a kid without not in a marriage. She gave me a CD of all the David's interviews on the radio stations, and that was my first thing about how David answered all the different questions. It answers in the beginning quite a lot. I was busy studying to be a pastor at that time, so I just stopped everything and just see David has got the word. He's talking about what the Bible says, not what the church says, and that's that changed my life. And then I phoned Cornelius as well, go to a Bible study as well, same as the natural things.
How many of y'all were in that Bible study with Cornelius? Five of you?
No, in the beginning, I would say it's about 12 people in the beginning.
About 12 people? Okay, awesome. I'd heard that story before, and of course, I knew when he had died.
So we've learned a lot from Cornelius. That's just, that's a brilliant guy, yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Thank you.
And then there's Julie. How'd you get into UBM?
How did I get in here? I kind of like Missy. I heard teachings that and I just knew in my spirit that what I was hearing the truth from the teachings I was listening to. I was going to a big old mega church out here in Southern California, and I'd met a woman, a Christian woman there, who we started spending time together and stuff, and she had a lot more spiritual knowledge and understanding of things that was not your regular Baptist, any kind of denominational church, and her dad and stuff, and her mom and things, and where they had been, and they're kind of like missionaries in different areas, and really were trying to live by faith, and they had some stories. So I knew that there were, I mean, the Lord was showing me different things. What I was hearing and understanding in the church I was in didn't have it. And, you know, he was really giving me a love for the word and things. So anyhow, this woman that I was fellowshipping with and stuff, she gave me the website to a few different places on prophetic things. And one of them was UBM. And she was going there for like the dreams and the visions and that kind of thing. And, you know, I started reading some of them, and it's like, it was kind of a little bit above my head kind of thing. I didn't understand that. So, but the Lord led me right to the audio teachings, and I started listening to those and found the Hidden Manna series, and just was, I'm like, yes, this is the truth. And understanding the end times and how David was putting it, like the panorama and the, you know, the transparency over transparency, the different things are happening in Revelations and stuff. And it wasn't like, you know, that 7-year tribulation thing, trying to put everything in there this year, this year, this year, this year, everything happening, you know, in sequential order and stuff. And I'm like, it just, because I'd been studying that and it just, oh, yes, this fits. Oh, yes, that makes so much more sense. And I was just eating it all up. So that's kind of how I fell into, you know, hearing the truth. And I came out from amongst them and left that church and at the leading of the Lord, he just, you know, it's time for you to go. You've got the truth now. And just, he just started opening up my, as soon as I came out and just started reading my Bible more and more and listening to these teachings, everything the Lord was showing me, he was having me repent of from what my participation was in the church and the things I was doing there is, you know, and it was all wrong. The tithing and all these other things, I was just repenting. He was just opening my eyes to the scriptures and just, yeah, I was just, it was awesome. It was awesome. Amen. He led me out. He led me out. Just like I said, in John chapter 10, you know, he leads them out. He calls them by name and leads them out. Well, that's how I came here.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Greg, how'd you come across VBN?
Well, okay. I was involved in another online group, as I might have mentioned, and I'd pretty much done all the damage I could to that. Tracy invited me in here. That's not quite the whole story, but pretty much. Yeah, it was, you know, things had come to a halt there, I suppose. And I, you know, Tracy said, come in here, and because you guys were all sitting there being very good till I came along anyway. and you know what? Most of you had your cameras on, which was just unusual for groups like, you know, where I was previously. So I appreciate not everyone can. But yeah, look, you know, my invitation was via Tracy. And I think when I came in, I actually scared someone away. When like that, I'll tell that story another time.
Well, what do you think about the teachings?
Well, initially, I was too scared to have a cup of coffee in front of you. You know, like I kind of, because everyone was sitting there being very, very quiet and very well, you know, very well behaved. And I'm not kind of quite used to that. So I was just sitting quietly. The first thing that I think I read was God's Vaccine. Is that right? Anyway, it was Sovereign God was pretty close after that. Oh no, sorry. The first book I read was what is it called? It's really good though. What is it called?
Well, he's got 28 books. So just
I know. No, it's kind of the one. Oh, come on, Julie. What's it called? It basically explains our place in Christ and how free we are.
Perfection in Christ.
Through Christ.
No, that's not it. It'll come to me anyway. Don't laugh at me, David. Stop laughing at me. I get all self-conscious.
Made a real impression on you, did it?
It did. Made a real impression on me. And I thought, this is it's so straightforward, you know, and had a lot of scripture in it, which I really like because it's referenced, you know, it's not someone's opinion. It was God's Vaccine and Sovereign God after that. I'll pick the name and I'll just put it in the chat. But, look, Tracy invited me in and you guys have put up with me ever since. So that's about my story. Blessed.
Amen. Are you showing us your hand or are you waving at us?
So, Greg, you didn't actually start listening to the teachings or reading any of the Bible study information, anything, until you came in here first.
I came in here first. I just listened in. You guys were so well behaved, and I was actually thought, oh, gee, I want to drink coffee, but I better not. Because everyone was just sitting there really good. But I've messed you up now, so it's okay. When, Vanita, it's coming up 2 years now. It would be about 2 years ago come September, October, I think. I'm sure it's recorded in the annals of you know, UBM's history, the day I showed up. It's in the chronicles.
I love that humbleness about you, Greg. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm very proud of it.
Oh my.
Real good news. Thank you, Joe. That was it. Yes. Real thank you, news. Joe.
Oh, that's the real Facebook. Good news. Yeah.
It is. It's absolutely brilliant. The only complaint I would have with any of the teaching, it's like
this is so recorded, Greg.
Sorry?
This is recorded. Okay.
I've got to go to jail sometime.
All right, go ahead. I'm sorry.
That's okay. I know interruptions. So the only complaint I have is there's so much of it. There's so much. I mean, every time I come in here and someone says, oh, there was this, not that I haven't listened to that one yet either. There's so much of it. And it's not like, you know, it's a 10, 15 minute, you know, soundbite. It's like the whole picture.
Yeah. Yeah. It's awesome. Okay.
But I'll close off here because I've got the floor now. So, you know, I don't let go of it easily. No, just with a testimony and, you know, some of you know that the last week and a half I've been without a place. But look, this one thing that's come through, and it's come through this fellowship. At the moment, as I said earlier, I'm getting the keys to my new place today, which is great. But I'm sitting in a hotel room for the last two nights here. Granted to me by someone in the fellowship, I don't know this man. I don't know, you know, just, and this is, you know, and it's really nice too.
Amen.
So, I just wanted to chuck that, you know, it's a provision from God and others have, you know, been mindful of me as well. I'll leave it at that, you know. But me and God are having a real good time at the moment. You know, I'm giving him a tick and I'm giving the fellowship a tick. So anyway, but my gratitude goes out there to the body.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, you're a blessing, brother. Right. Something. Now.
Thank you. I'll okay. mute now.
Yes, please do. Go ahead, Geneva.
Okie doke. So I think I was like 13 years old at the time, which obviously I learned through Isaac. But I remember me and my mom, we lived out in this kind of crappy trailer out in the country. It was just us. And we got like six dogs running around. You know how we are with our animals. And anyways, I remember Isaac shows up and he shows up with Garrett. And we're like, who's this? And we're excited. You know, we haven't seen anybody in forever. So Isaac, I guess I remember Garrett talking about it, and Garrett said, you know, Isaac said it was going to be that far. He's like, you know, being a 6 hour drive or something to get back to our house. I remember Garrett talking about that. And anyways, I remember they came in, we all kind of sat down in a circle in the living room and Garrett was talking about it and Isaac was real pumped up and excited. And me and mom were listening. And I remember at the time, you know, with me being so young and everything, I was kind of like, whoa, like what's going on here? You know, because we were kind of raised like Pentecostal. So I remember being like, well, you know, Isaac believes it and everyone's real happy about it, so sure, I'll believe it. It didn't take much for me. And so anyways, I remember I started listening to some podcasts with Isaac and Mariana, and then the next thing I know, I had a dream. And I don't know who said it, but they said that UBM is like a dream factory, and it is. And I had a dream, and it was the first dream I've ever had, and it was about a coin, and it was like the end of times or something, and it was a coin, and like it had Caesar's face on it. And then it was like a one world currency type thing. And I remember being like, it was such a vivid dream. And then the next thing I know, I had another dream following after that. And it was, and I never listened, you know, I never really listened to her because you can just tell she's demonic. But Lady Gaga, it was her song Bad Romance. And she was dancing in it. And it was like all these demons were all over her. And I remember having those dreams back to back, and I woke up and I was like, oh man, like that was the Lord. And so from then on, like, I was like, I'm not going to listen to her. I'm not going to, you know, which I didn't really in the first part, but you hear it come on the radio and stuff. And so I wrote those dreams down, and then it was just like a trickling effect after that. Like I started a few years later, I ended up moving in with Isaac and Mariana, and they graciously took me in. And I lived with them for a while, and we every Wednesday and every Sunday night, we'd turn on UBM. We'd listen to UBM. That was our tradition. We'd have dinner and listen to UBM. And I even as a high schooler, I felt like the Lord really strengthening me and strengthening my faith. And I would write in my journal during like study hall and stuff, and just like write to the Lord and listen to UBM. And then Marissa, you know, Marissa was like, you're having all these dreams. She was like, I remember we started talking about the Lord a lot. And Marissa then started getting in on UBM, and then we ended up going to college together, and we listened to UBM together. And the Lord really kept us strong during those times, and never once went to a college party, either one of us. We were cool, but that's okay. Like, we had the Lord, and that's all we needed. But anyways, yeah, God's really been faithful through this ministry for, you know, me and my family. And I've seen things that I don't think I would have ever seen if not for the faith that, you know, this ministry has taught us. But I couldn't feel any more privileged, you know, to be a part of his kingdom. And it's just all glory to him. And I'm just so thankful for this ministry.
Amen. Oh, you got to get him in there young, don't you, Isaac? Amen, brother. That's awesome. Testimony. Geneva, thank you so much for that. Andrew, you're next on the list.
Okay, the person who introduced me to UBM is the same person who gave me the gospel at my workplace. His name was David, too. And, you know, he used to be a pre-tribber. And then somehow he came to your site, and he started talking to me that it wasn't pre-tribulation rapture anymore, and that it was post-trib. And I made a mental note of it. And I was a little bit angry when he said it, because I wasn't angry at him. I was angry that people could be wrong about something, you know, and, well, it ended up that this is when I was at my lowest part in my life, because I was divorced, and so I would have probably never came to UBM. It's just that he was very persistent about it, so he gifted me with a computer. He went out and bought a desktop computer for me. And he came to my apartment, which was upstairs in my mother's house. He set up his computer, this computer he bought me, the screen, the keyboard, the speakers, the little mouse, and, well, you know, just a desktop. And He set it up for me, and he gave me an MP3 player, which had a lot of recordings in it. He bought me the MP3 player too, which was the recordings forum, the Prophecy Club. He also taped all the prophecy clubs on discs. And he bought me a DVD player for my TV too. And considering the suffering that I was going through still, you know, it was, you know, I still have the discs, you know, I played them so many times that there's scratches on them and stuff, but you can still make out things. And I was just really blessed with this computer, this MP3 player to listen to while you go to work. And he ended up passing away, my friend who did all this for me. But he brought me to UBM, and he had to actually let me get used to the computer and then get the internet, because I didn't know how to work a computer at all. And so I got internet, and we hooked it up to the computer, and he showed me how to get to the site. And then I started listening on Wednesdays and Sundays. And then later, when I found out there was a fellowship, I joined the fellowship. And some of the first teachings that they were talking about was the spiritual temple of the Lord. And I was really amazed with that. He taught me so much just with the parallels there. And I was experiencing those parallels that it really touched me at a real low part in my life. Just trying to help my children at the same time, trying to teach some of this to them as I was learning it. And and from there, you know, I'm here now, and been here for quite a few years. I think I have a letter here from 2007, but I know it's been before that. And I think with this, you know, we're still on this journey with UBM, and this is the Lord's ministry. And I just thank God that he brought me here. It's just miraculous to have someone way up here in Canada hook up with UBM, and not really knowing how it happened except through the Lord. And I still have the desktop, but I got this laptop now. I still have the MP3 player. The DVD player, it broke, and I got a new one just to. And then, of course, you know, you progress and you don't have any of those movie things anymore. So the Lord's been blessing me through UBM, and glory to God. I'm looking forward to continuing on this journey to see where God takes me. Amen.
Amen. Hey, Barry, what about y'all?
We came in through the Prophecy Club. We knew some people that were active in the Prophecy Club and would stand behind the tables there at the meetings and sell the books and all that jazz. And they gave us a DVD or a VCR tape or something with the Hidden Manna Prophecy Club thing. And we got a Sovereign God book, and that's how we started out. You know, it was kind of rough getting started because it was so different than anything we'd heard before. And, it was real eye-opener and kind of changed the way we thought about things quite a bit. So it's been a real blessing.
We'd been into the end time, looking into, been part of the, you know, very interested in that for quite a while. And Lord was already dealing with us quite a bit. He brought us out of our, our luxury home and jobs in Houston, Texas, and moved us to Montana, to the wilderness. So we were already kind of in a wilderness environment. And But when we started, you know, listening to the teachings from UBM, it was just like, wow, this is what we've been missing. You know, this just makes perfect sense. And some of the things that David said, you know, I'll never forget. The Lord had already told me that, and I would tell this to people all the time, you know, hey, we're in the end times, you know, we're getting to the end times and we're going to see a replay of the book of Acts. And I've never heard anybody say that until I came to UBM. But then I realized that, you know, David had a lot more wisdom and insight on that than I did, that you can't have a replay of the book of Acts until you have a replay of the Gospels. You know, people have got to hear and believe the real gospel before you're going to have a replay of the book of Acts. But, you know, there were some confirmations and things like that. So I guess, you know, we've been with UBM for about 14, 15 years. And we've been blessed.
Amen. Y'all came in about the same time I did. I was in 2000, and between 2004 and 2005, somewhere along the near. Okay. Gano, you're next, girl.
Okay. Well, my husband and I came in through the Prophecy Club, like some of the rest of you. We'd been to some meetings, and Stan says, well, this person will share more of the word with you than you ever wanted to hear. And we were just really blessed with everything. I know we got audio tapes and Sovereign God book, and we just listened and listened and read and read and loved it. And then I'm not exactly sure what year, but probably 2002, because we met him in 2003. When he toured with the Prophecy Club and was in Omaha, Nebraska. And that's where we met him. And we went down to Florida to see him in 2007. And I guess since then we started visiting like every other year or so. And now I've moved to Tennessee. So I'm here and really enjoying the fellowship and everything about it. The true word of God. And yeah, it's really been a blessing. And just like everyone else, is such a blessing as well. So I guess that's my story.
Thank you, Lord. Yeah, you're a blessing to us too, Gano. She grows some of the prettiest tomatoes. My gracious. Good too, man. I tell you what, they are so good.
What I thought was going to be cherry tomatoes, they turned out to be very big cherry tomatoes, like some of them are over a pound. So they aren't cherry tomatoes. They said they should average 5 to 8 ounces, much bigger.
Oh my, yeah. Those I've got, they're well over a pound a piece.
They are.
They're pretty too.
And I haven't even brought the biggest one yet. I still have that one.
Oh, come on, Gano.
What are you saving that one for, Ganel? If you haven't shared it yet,
I'm going to wait till it gets ripe. But I need to give it to someone because it's so big. I couldn't possibly use it all fast enough. I don't think it's really big. It's almost the size of a coffee cup saucer. I don't know. It's really big.
I got one about the size of a plate going. I'm glad you went ahead and told yours. Now I can tell mine. I'm just kidding. Yeah. Oh, my. No, I've only gotten two off of mine so far. And they're, you know, just regular size. I've been humiliated by Gano's gardening expertise. All right, David, you're up, buddy.
Well, made it here through God's grace.
Well, go ahead. Okay, well, for me, it was kind of, my brother Leo has been with you guys for, I think, 10 years now, maybe a little more. And so when I was about 13 years old, 14, I was dealing with a lot of struggles, and I would always write letters to my brother because he lived in Alaska and we lived in Missouri. And I would just always write him letters and sometimes call him and talk to him with things I was dealing with, and spiritually and emotionally. And he was always just kind of like a father figure to me, someone I could go to, be my oldest brother. He's 15 years older than me, so much wiser. And anyway, I always really looked up to him, and he was with you guys already. And he just started, like, whenever I'd call him about spiritual struggles or something, I just started noticing that he had like so much wisdom. Like, he was telling me these things I've never heard before. And it was so just like, wow. Like, a lot of times I didn't even understand everything he'd say. He'd always ask me to, he'd always be like, Elena, do you understand what I'm telling you? Cause like, he knew it was so different than what we've been taught. So I guess that was just kind of like warming me up to it in a way. You know, he helped me, I mean, through the Lord, through him, helped me overcome a lot when I was younger and just in general. And then last year, Theo and Lana joined you guys. I don't know the exact time they joined you guys, but sometime after they did, Lana started talking to me a lot, just sharing so much of what she's been learning with you guys. And it was just so, like, it was amazing. Like, I would just listen to her and I'd just be like, wow, like, I want this, you know? Like, I questioned my salvation. I was so, you know, I didn't know the truth. I didn't know the full truth. And I always felt so just like something was binding me, holding me down. And so through Fiona and Lana, we were able to come into here, and it's just been, it's given me such a freedom. And it's just amazing. And I praise the Lord.
Amen.
Well, it was kind of interesting because we had family gatherings when we still lived in Missouri, and I'd listen to Theo speak, and I'd be like, how can this guy just say that we're perfect? When, I mean, I didn't know back then. I was like, how can this guy even talk so boldly? I was like, he's so wrong thinking that you could be perfect. And I just didn't understand. Until one time, me and him were driving to, we were going fishing. It was the season of fly fishing. And oh, miss those days. But anyways, one day we'll be fishing again, but for men this time. And I was driving and I was like, I just have to say, I was like, I'm just very uneasy with that. I just have to go out and say it. And I did. And I was like, and he was like, he sat there and we're driving. He's like, there's just a lot you don't realize what goes on beyond everything. And then he slowly started explaining and talking about UBM and whatnot. And then he's like, how about you just join us for fellowship? Just come over on a Tuesday or Thursday if you can, and we'll go from there. Because we were uneasy with our church that we were going to at that time. So we went to a Baptist church, and I just liked how that pastor broke things down. They studied the Bible and whatnot. And me and Theo just got done talking. I joined UBM calls like one or two times, and me and Theo just got talking about the fact how a lot of the pastors get the whole thorn in my flesh wrong. And I was like, well, I was like, that's neat of what he had to say about it. And I was like, and we go to church that Sunday, and the pastor standing there, he's like, he's reading that verse, and I was like, me and Theo just talked about this verse. and the pastor literally said, we don't know what that thorn in the flesh means. It could be some kind of sickness or something. And I was like, I wanted to speak out because Theo just said what it meant. And I was like, I wanted to speak out. And I was like, but the Lord didn't let me. He just used that to show me to leave. That church was just a stepping stone. And he was like, leave. And then we left everything, asked out of church, and everybody was confused, and some people were upset. And I was like, that means I'm doing the right thing. And I just went on and joined UBM from there, and been here since. And thank God that we joined, because I don't think I don't even know where I would have been today if not for this great fellowship.
Thank y'all. Amen. All right, Debbie, you want to do it?
Yes, I will. One moment. Okay. Well, first of all, many years ago, we started being taught about sonship at a fellowship we were going to. And it was very good. It was new revelation for us and for everybody there. And then he would say some things, he'd get a little deeper, and he'd say, well, I have even more to tell you, but this is the elder that taught, but you're not ready for it yet. So he would stay on a certain level. But we'd also been hearing it first. First, we heard it from, well, I have to go back to all this stuff before I get you to how we got to David. But we heard first about sonship through Bill Britton's books. And that happened by my mom gave me a book that she found at her restaurant. She said, you might like this book, Denny. Gave it to Denny. And so that's, we got onto that right off. And then started coming to our fellowship. Well, then that elder passed away, and those teachings stopped. And so years and years and years went by when you didn't hear it anywhere. You didn't hear about sonship anywhere. We didn't. We never heard it from anyone else in any of our fellowships, because it's like sister fellowships. We never heard it. Never heard it from anywhere. And we kept always asking, where, God, when is it? When is it going to be? When are you going to bring us more? But did have the books that we had to read and stuff and talk about. But then Denny's brother passed away, and Denny's brother too was excited about learning about sonship also. And then his brother died, and he got some of his brother's study materials and Bibles and things like that, a big bag and a bunch of stuff. And Denny had it on the floor by him. About a year, there was this pile of stuff on the floor by him in our dining room. And there was this paper laying on top. He kept looking at this paper. He just kept moving it around, just stayed there. It was a year. And he finally picked it up after a year. And it was his brother, Danny, never, his twin, he never told us anything about this guy that he read. We don't know if he read it or not. If he just got it, who he got it from, we don't know anything about that. If he even knew what it was. But then he picked it up, and it was a chapter from Hidden Manna. I think it was, I don't remember which chapter it was. I want to say 3 or something, but I don't remember.
It is finished.
Pardon?
It is finished. Chapter number 3.
Maybe it was that one. I don't remember, but he read it, and he just really liked what he was reading. I didn't read it. He just was like sitting there reading, going, wow. And then he's telling me some stuff finally. It was, wow, who is this guy? That's how he said it. This guy. Then he found the website for Newsweek. We got on, we found our way to YouTube right away to Prophecy Club and Hidden Manna. That's how we came in with Hidden Manna, hearing all that. It was like, we kept looking at each other going, wow. So it was just amazing. so much further than that, of course, than what we heard before. God just really built. And so at our fellowship, we went to church right across the street. Matt and Sue went there, and we knew that they would receive because just the way they, our conversations with them, we knew they'd receive. So we invited them over to come listen on Sunday morning after church on Sundays. They would come listen, and they were excited to. I don't know any about their testimony really is about what they've said with each other and how excited they were, but no, they really liked it. And so that's how we all wound up here together.
Amen.
That's just hidden manna. Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of people came in through hidden manna.
It's actually through a pamphlet or through a chapter you just met. That one. Yeah. The paper they found on the floor.
Amen. All right. Let's see. Who's next? Tracy. Well, she's probably working. Can you give us a testimony, or are you working? She's working. All right. Let's see. Megan, you've been with us a long time. Tell us how you came here. Megan, can you hear me? All right, let's see. Vanita, you want to tell us how you came in?
Yeah, hold on, I got to turn something off here. Hi, everybody. Yeah, so I was studying to teach Sunday school to the children. And when I do that, I like to go online and look at different studies and things and try to understand it better. And so I pulled up, I don't know how I came to it, just Googling things. And I pulled up David's message on hidden manna. And I had already been studying it a little bit, the end times. And it was also very confusing and couldn't understand any of it. I had been listening to David Pawson at the time, and I just like the way that he set everything up when he goes through things. But anyways, I listened to David about hidden manna and the days of Noah when he went through that. It was like, wow, that just makes so much sense, you know, just to follow the days of Noah, then you'll know the truth. And when you follow that, it just all fits and makes sense. And so then I would go back to David Pawson and listen to that, and that's not what he was saying at all. I'm like, that, okay, I know he's not right there. So then I went to another website and listened to somebody else, and nothing that I listened to after that, I just couldn't agree with any of it because it didn't follow the days of Noah. And so it just, I knew I could just throw it out if it didn't follow the days of Noah pretty much. And so I just kept listening and reading through that. And we had a study at our church, I think mostly because I was interested in it. I wanted to study the book of Revelation and pre-trib and post-trib and things. And so my pastor finally decided to do it one year. One summer, we were going to go through pre-trib and why it's pre-trib. And I had all these teachings of David in my head, you know, and he's going through this. It was so hard because he would say different points. He had like 10 different points on why we believe in pre-trib. And each one I could give an argument for. It's like he would say, well, they don't mention the church in anything after the book of Revelation chapter 3. And I'm like, yeah, but there's lots of books in the Bible that don't mention the word church. So that, you know, that doesn't mean that they're not talking about the church. And just the whole thing about Israel, and it's just all 10 things. I was like, but what about this? But what about, and he would, every time I'd raise my hand, he was like, okay, Vanita, I know you have questions on that. We'll come back to you. Just keep that in your head. But I'm going to keep going and make all the points about pre-trib and go through it all. And then we can come back and answer your questions. I'm like, all right, okay. You know, I got to remember all these things to ask you. And so he went through the whole thing. And then he got to the end and he didn't let me ask any questions. He was like, he had convinced himself that it was the truth. And there was no asking any questions about it. And I just was like, what? You won't even let me ask you a question. I was so upset. So he moved on to the next subject and I was just like so upset. So I finally pulled him aside one day. I was like, look, I have a lot of questions and I can understand why you might not want me to ask you in the congregation because you don't want them to believe something else, maybe whatever. But I need to ask you these questions. I can't just let it go. So I made him sit down with me and have a separate meeting with, there was like six other couples and me. It was like them against me. And I went through and I printed out Hidden Manna, the first, I think it was chapter 3. And I like took all reference to David Eel off of it because I didn't want him to know who it came from because I didn't want him to go and look for David Eels and make up their mind because of one little thing that they heard that they didn't agree with it. So I took it all off and I said, I'm not going to tell you who it is. I just want to go through this and figure out why you think it's wrong. So we did it. And they have a reason for everything. And I didn't know enough about it and understand it well enough to argue those points that they had, which was fine. You know, I understand it better now, but I still shouldn't be arguing with them. But anyway, you know, I can just refer him to Hidden Manna. But, and so we had that meeting and didn't agree with anything. It just didn't make sense, like what David had taught. And so then I just kept reading other things and I was just like a rock, an island unto myself, Greg. And it was just, it was me against the whole church and nobody would listen to me. Nobody could understand. Husband, I mean, nobody, there was nobody to talk to about it. It was awful. And then finally I listened and joined the fellowship last year in November. And I mean, it was like, I think I was in the fellowship the first week. I didn't know about the Holy Spirit and Michael prayed for me and I believed it. I mean, it's like, okay, yeah, by faith, it's all by faith. And then, and then it's like the week later, I opened the Bible and I wanted a word from the Lord about leaving the church. And I wish I'd written down what verse it was, but I can't remember what verse it was, but it basically said, there's nobody more important than me, said the Lord. I'm the most important thing. And so just, you have to follow me and nothing else. Nothing else matters. And that was like, okay, that's it. And I left the church that week. So, and I've been with you guys since then. Amen.
Praise God. Good testimony. Good testimony. I'm going to get one more. All right, Edwin, go ahead, brother.
Hi, guys. So basically about 2 years ago, when we moved to Tasmania, we joined a Bible study group with Rian and Claire and two other, another couple that also lived here. And we used to listen to one of the, or teachings from one of the books of David. And then later, Rian and Claire also gave us a copy of Sovereign God. These teachings basically made me realize that I've been deceived by the church my whole life. And basically by giving too much power to the devil. And for the first time in my life, I really started believing with my heart and not just pretending to believe. A lot of questions always came up when I used to go to church and in my head while sitting there. And I always used to realize or pick up on contradictions that the pastors made between one week to the next. And all of these things made me doubt my belief. But for the first time in my life, these teachings did not have any of that. And all of it was backed by scripture. And so for the first time, I really started believing in that teachings that we used to listen, that we listened to on Wednesdays. David gave a lot of real life examples of how the Lord led him to these things, and he always backed all of that up with scripture. So that made me really believe it. After all of that, Rian invited me to join these sessions, but for some reason I just never did. And then about 2 weeks ago, he invited me again, And without even thinking about it, I just joined, and I just praise God for persistently calling me and leading me to the truth. That's it.
Well, thank you, Edwin. We're glad to have you, brother. Another Tasmanian. All right. That'll work. We're getting a whole bunch of Tasmanian people in here. That's awesome. All right. We're going to stop right there, and then we can carry on again Tuesday night and get everybody else if you want to. Take a look at that Ephesians 4 division of the church thing that I sent out to everybody. Anybody not get it? Okay, good deal. Everybody got it. Take a look at it. We'll go over that. Edwin, you may not have gotten it. If Clara Woods, maybe she could send it over to him, because I don't have the information. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Lord, we just thank you for another wonderful evening of fellowship and learning how we all came to UBM. We thank you for teaching Brother David all these many years. I don't know how many it's been now, close to 50, I expect. And Father, we just we praise you for the work that you've done in him and through him, us, Lord. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, give us a good night's sleep tonight. And let me wake up in the morning glorifying you, Lord. And we just praise you and we thank you, Lord, for protecting us. And Lord, I lift up Angelica and Isaiah to you also. Lord, they're leaving in the morning, going to Texas to your grandmother's funeral. And we just ask for your protection upon her and Isaiah, that they have a good trip out there and a good trip back, that they're not going to have any hiccups along the way either. That it'll be a smooth traveling time for them, and protect them while they're there. And also, Lord, and let them be a light to their family, and they can also bring them in to the teachings of you, Lord. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Good night, y'all. Oh, wait a minute. What you got, Theo?
Everyone, just I want y'all to agree with my little Maximus. Whatever. It sounds like he's having a little fever. Was hanging out with all the kids yesterday, pick something up. But in the name of Jesus, we command it to go and be gone by morning, and he'll be right as rain. And thank you, Father, for answering that for us.
I Amen. Also wanted to pipe in and ask also that you stand in faith for us. He tends to cry a lot when we suddenly lift him off his knees. He likes to sit on his knees, and I've always thought maybe it's stiff knees, and I've rebuked it and continue to walk in faith against that. But recently I've been suspecting that maybe he has spasms in his little legs, because he cries out suddenly and he reaches for either the arch of his foot or the back of his leg. And being pregnant, I know exactly what that's like. And it just absolutely breaks my heart every time I see him cry out like that and just scream to be put down. So if y'all could just pray and agree that that spirit is no more, and he doesn't have that ongoing issue at these like random times, whether it's the middle of the night or in the middle of the day or in the middle of playing. So thank you, Father God, that we have the authority to come against this spirit of cramps and infirmity, and that his fever is gone. We command it to be gone, and that he is covered by the blood of Christ, and none of that can touch our home anymore. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. We hook our faith up with Lana and Theo. And Maximus, you are healed in the name of Jesus from all of those infirmities. And we thank you, Father, that he's going to be completely healed. No more cramps, no more anything in his knees, leg, feet, whatever. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Well, all right. Y'all be blessed.